Everybody, and welcome back to 10 Down with Terry and David. Happy Sunday.
Good morning, everybody.
Get up on Sunday.
What time do you reckon people tune in to actually listen? On their walks, 8 a.m. on a Sunday?
No one listens.
No one listens.
Not one person listens.
You don't listen to me, so let's go.
We're back. How are you all? We hope you're keeping well. We are back from a little break because...
Was it a break?
No, it was an unexpected break. We didn't mean to. We had an episode to go live when we were in Dubai and all hell broke loose, which we'll talk about now in a second. And then we just were traumatized. So we didn't get a chance to sit down and record a pod. So we promise you, though, this is a pinky promise, from this week onwards, we are going to be more consistent. We'll have an episode going out every Sunday because we are getting a little bit of help. And we hope it helps. So yeah, we're back.
Your pinky promise is like me pinky promising Sydney to go to school and she'll get a treat afterwards.
That it doesn't happen.
It doesn't. No,
that's terrible, David. You shouldn't break promises.
I didn't say that.
You did.
No, you said it doesn't happen. And then I answered and corrected myself because I answered too quick. Her treat is in the car. So when I collect her, I'm going to give it to her. Oh shit,
what are you saying, David? You were making out like my pinky promise means nothing and then
I'm saying it sounds like the pinky promise that I gave Sydney going to school. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, that's very cute.
Yeah, I need to take the chocolate bar out of the car because currently the sun is shining on the car and it's going to be melted.
It's going to be absolute mush in that car.
And then that'll be another problem, but anyway.
Yeah, well, actually, speaking of problems, this morning was chaos. Well... Actually, do you know what we should do? We should start this episode off by you explaining what happened last night while I was in Spain.
Oh, yes. Okay. So,
Parenting
101 on your own. With the age gap right now between Sydney and Miles, it's really, really hard because it's like between 4 and 7 is just, it's crazy. Like
4 and 7 p.m.
Yeah. Like it's crazy. Like it's every man for themselves. The kids, Sydney's coming home exhausted from school. She's cranky.
She
doesn't know what she wants. The weather's not even warm enough yet for them to go out, blah, blah, blah. But we tried to get them out. Last night, Sydney said to me, I want to have a bath with Miles. And she had a bath the night previous with him. She wanted to wash his hair. I said, no, I washed his hair. Because of course, what's going to happen? The shampoo is going to go into his eyes. So they were playing in the bath together as they do. And Miles is in this stage where he's just screaming really high pitched. Sydney's then shouting over him. I get overstimulated. I'm folding the towels backwards as opposed to the way they need to go. And all of a sudden I hear this like higher scream than normal. I turn around and Sydney has like mushed like a whole handful of shampoo into Miles's head and then had obviously poured water then on top of it, which then the shampoo runs down into his little eyes. Oh. He went hysterical,
I'd say so.
Right? And then which then sets Sydney off. And she does it on a normal day.
And then felt guilty.
She gets upset when Miles gets upset. Like, you feel terrible for her. But, like, I couldn't correct her. I couldn't say, like, what the hell did you do? I just took him out, dried him off, dried his eyes, and then tried to console Sydney. Then washed his eyes out with a warm towel. And just clear water. And Sydney was like, it was just chaos between the two of them, back and forward, screaming at each other. Eventually got Sydney into the bed, tried to read her a book, wouldn't happen. Then put Miles down. He wouldn't drink his bottle because he was so overtired. And it was like playing ping pong ball with kids.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I came home from Spain last night and I was over there for work just for one night. And I get into bed and David was telling me all of this and I literally had a headache going to bed listening to all your story because I just felt so bad for you.
Terry, you don't need to feel bad for me. Like it's just like you said, and I thought about it myself, that if you're on your own, they can't bat together.
No.
Unless it's 3 o'clock in the day on a Saturday.
And I think it's important to share these stories as well because I suppose people would look at us online or anybody online with kids and think, God, they have it all together. And really, if you walked into our house after 5 o'clock, you would literally, you'd need a straitjacket because it's just insanity.
It's chaos. It's insanity. Chaos.
But it's so much easier when there's two of us. And I've been in that position plenty of times where you're out with the lads or you're away and I'm like so you're just drowning in the both of them. But what I find works is, and I said this to you last night, is like, you need to stop trying to do both bedtimes at the same time. Just when you are putting Miles down, say to Sydney, you can have 10 more minutes, turn on a little movie for her, like a nice Disney movie. You can have 10 minutes. You're allowed to stay up a little bit later than Miles. Give her that little sense of, oh, I'm getting something extra here. Let her watch a movie. You go upstairs, do Miles's bedtime, and then bring her up.
I have done that, but there is days where Sydney is just
overtired.
She just wants to go to bed.
Yeah, but you're just going to have to, for your own sanity, you have to put your foot down and be like, I will do your bedtime. Here's the deal. And just explain that to her, because she's actually quite rational. But when it's a both of them at the same time and one thing goes wrong, like you said, she walked into the door as well.
Oh, yeah. So before all this bat scenario, all this crazy shit had happened, when I collected her from school, like, Sydney's getting into this really bad habit, and she doesn't mean it like in a bad thing. She's excited to see Miles. When I'm dropping the two of them off, dropping Sydney off to school, Miles is in the car and he always falls asleep in the car. And then she's excited to say goodbye to him. She wakes him up. Then he cries all the way home in the car. And then when I collect her, he's asleep in the car. When I collect her, I'm like, Sydney, when you get into the car, Miles is asleep. And then she's like, jumps in. She goes, ah, okay. And then she's
Miles! Like, she's like Darla from Nemo. Yeah, hello, yeah. Fishy, why are you sleeping?
So when she was getting into the car, she slipped and banged her shin off the side of the car. Came home, walked into the door.
Yeah.
Right? Walked into the door and then hurt herself in the playroom off one of the toys. It was like, I had to stop her and say, Sydney, you're not thinking. Like, you're doing silly things. You're walking into things. You're hurting yourself. Just stop what you're doing.
She's just tired.
But the other idea, which we've tried to do, is giving Miles a bath first in his little, you know, the little like carry around thing. But he drowns the house.
I know.
Because he spends the whole time like he's a fish out of water. Like, he's just like splashing around.
Look, it's just tricky at the minute. And I often wonder, will Sydney and Miles listen back to these stories on the podcast, you know, when they're older,
and say I was a melt
and laughed our heads off at the scenarios. But yeah, look, Mir, if you're in the thick of it, we're there with you. It's so hard, especially when you're on your own. Like, for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I feel like me and you have bypassed each other so much. Like, you were away on the weekend and you were away with the lads, and I was on my own for 2 nights, and it's just...
But even when I'm away, I don't even, like, on insanity. The way down in the car, I'm like, I just want to turn around and come back.
I'm the same. Literally. When we only had one kid, it was like, you know, when you got a break, you were like a dog running with the gate open. You'd be like, woohoo! Like, that's how I felt. I used to be like, great, I deserve this. I deserve a break. Now I'm so anxious leaving the house. I'm like, oh my God. Because I just know
what you're going through.
Yeah, what you're leaving and how hard it is to do with them. So it's a lot different when you have two kids and you want to get a break, or like even when I'm going away for work, like I was away in Spain for one night, I couldn't sleep. The whole night I couldn't sleep. Anyway.
Did you go to another dimension last night when you slept?
No. No, I had a really bad sleep. Anyway, I was in Spain yesterday and the day before. I went over with my business partner. We are developing new products for Mantra Official. And oh my God, it's so exciting when you're over in the factories. But it really hit me when I was there. And like, obviously I've been doing product development for a long time, like, you know, even makeup products and things like that. But I very rarely get to sit in the factory. Like, when we developed Mantra, we were doing it from home because it was COVID. I've gone back and forth to a couple of factories in Portugal. And it's just, I just wish I could get to the factories a lot more. And it's definitely on the agenda. But I don't think anyone realizes, including me, how much goes into getting a product from an idea to selling it or like onto a shop floor. Like, when you think of like Primark, like any product, like just getting it onto the shop floor is so much work and so much tweaking. And I'll give you an example. Like, so
White Wave Gin.
Yeah, that was insane. But I'm just talking about like fashion or like, you know, bags, belts, all of these things. Anyway, we're developing this stunning bag. We actually got three developed yesterday. So we sat down with the factory and the owner of the factory, and we were like, right, we want to do this, this, and this out of this material, this color. Like, they had swatches in front of us. They had the quality of the leather, the suede. We picked absolutely everything. And then they tell us how much it would cost to make that. And then we have to think about how much it's going to cost to get that to Ireland. Like if you're a manufacturing over in China, you have to think about customs, all of these things. Anyway, we added it all up and we were like, oh my God, if we did that at this price, we'd have to charge 450 euro for this bag to make any sort of profit, or like leave room for say a discount code, or you know, like a margin if say we were to go into Arnott's or Kildare Village, which is definitely on the agenda this year. And you've
that's exciting.
Yeah, you have to think about all these things. And sorry, I don't mean to be talking about like business, but
people like to hear this stuff.
Maybe they do, but it's just, it's insane. Like 400, 450 euro for us is a really, really expensive. So then what we had to do is we had to sit down and be like, okay, how can we get this to a price where if we can sell it at say 250 euro. So then we have to relook at the materials and relook at the colors, relook at the suede. Do we really need that zip? Like, can we go with like a different type of zip that's still super high quality, but might cost him a little bit less so he can give it to us for a little bit less.
And does that reduce your options in terms of like swatches of colors?
Yeah, of course. Like, because you know, it's so hard to explain, but you know, you think you're going to walk into a factory and be like, right, this is what I want. Boom. See you later. But you can't do that unless you're willing to sell a product for like, you know, in between 400 or 500 euro, which is just not what we want to do. But we also want the quality. So we were going around in circles like being like, okay, this high quality suede with this trimming, and how can we pull back on costs here, blah, blah, blah. So it's fascinating. It really is fascinating. And it's so interesting. And I absolutely love doing it. So anyway, that's what we were doing yesterday, and we like did a 14-hour day, and we hopefully got 3 or 4 bags across the line. And what will happen next is we'll get those samples and we'll tweak the sample. So say, you know, like it's hard to know what you've created until it's actually created. So we might actually say, oh, that color suede is not working, let's look at a different suede, and we'll just go with the extremely high quality. And do you know, like it's a minefield, but it's so interesting. And I'd love to be able to talk about that a little bit more as well on my socials, which I'm going to try and do. But let me know if you're interested in all that, because we'll definitely have more chats about it.
I definitely understand, like, just to give you
just before you say that, but us going to the factory has reduced the amount of emails we would have needed, or FaceTimes or video calls massively. Because if you can imagine like how many calls, how many emails would that have taken to get it to that point? So you're actually better off going to the factories. And sorry, while I'm talking about Mantra Official, if you have nothing to do on the 25th of March from 6:30 to 8:30 PM, so it's going to be in the Mason. So it's going to be a really exciting night. So it's myself, Clem, Carol Byrne, Rachel Gurry, and we're all going to sit down and talk all things life, motherhood, style, juggling it all, not juggling it all. We have amazing goodie bags, which are worth 150 euro. And I'm actually going to have to show them my stories. We've added on some extra tickets because we sold out.
Very good.
I know, very exciting. So we've added a few extra tickets. So if you and your girls are looking for something good to do on that date, if you want to come and just have the chats, it's going to be very relaxed, very fun, hopefully really beneficial. And yeah, the goodie bags are amazing. So definitely come along. There's a link over at Mantra Official if you want to go over and check it out.
Just to quickly finish that part off, like when you're talking about going to factories and sitting down with people that are basically the backbone of how something is developed, like I'm sure you get like really inspired and excited about like how you can make these things come about.
Yeah, like you just need a lot of money.
It's not even that, like you need a lot of patience and you know, and I know what it's like to do that, like and have the fin, like it's a mammoth of a job.
It is, because
it really is a mammoth of a job to do it.
Wave.
And that was one. Like that was one product. So if yous are doing like 3 or 4 each time, it's like,
well, there's brands that do hundreds of things at a time, but we're such a small Irish brand.
Yeah, like they have a whole team behind it.
Yeah,
like,
and we there's no room for error as well. Like, you know, we want to do it right and we want to sell a beautiful product. Really high quality for the best possible price.
Yeah. Well, see, the way I can relate to that is, and you would notice more than anybody, right? And not to dig too deep into it. So when I was developing White Wave, like, I still think about it now, where I had the option where I would have been able to pick a lot cheaper, a cheaper option, basically, where I could get like a standard bottle. When I say bottle, I mean glass, like very basic labeling.
Yeah.
And a very, very basic, like once off recipe. And I could have got the product out within
a couple of weeks,
you know, probably 3 to 4 months. But I sat on it for nearly 2 years and worked on it and got the bottle. I had this idea in my head, and I could visualize what it looked like. I just didn't know how to do it.
I don't think it was 2 years. It was a year.
But before we actually, from the start to finish, before we launched and actually got into store.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, I definitely can relate to what you mean by, you know, what is your customer and what is the selling point? You know, I can definitely understand what you mean by that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's good, but it's also such a minefield. Like, when I was sitting there and we were like adding it up and working it out, and, you know, when I heard that what we developed, we'd have to sell it at that, I was like, there's just no way. Like, there's no way. Mm. But then there's other brands that do sell products like that, like Pollen. Like, there's so many brands out there that, and I've bought them, that sell bags at that price point. But yeah, it's hard to know what people want and if they'd actually buy it. Like, you know, it's just such a worry, and you're investing so much money as well.
Exactly.
So yeah, come here, it's exciting. And I suppose I'd love to start sharing more of that, because I don't really talk about Mantra as much as I probably should, because I just don't think people are that interested. But I know that I'm definitely interested in hearing things from other brands.
Well, I'm sure you would have got a bit of engagement, and it was actually really cool to see. I know you only shared like, one or two snippets of the factory, like very, very like small amounts. Like, but I'm sure, knowing the person that you are, that you would have captured a lot of content while you were there.
Yeah, I did. I was just so exhausted.
Yeah. No, so I'm like, there's definitely so many people out there that get inspired by the likes of yourself, that, like, you know, they might have their ideas of what it is for their business, and, you know, just it's good, works, people are interested.
Well, if you want any advice, it's don't do it. It's so hard. And I do. It's good. It's good. And it's a learning curve. Like, I love to learn. But actually, speaking of going to Spain, so we had to fly into Alicante, and the factory was like an hour, 2 hours into the mountains, whatever. Anyway, we flew into Alicante. I didn't realize that's where people fly into when they're going to Benidorm. So when we were getting onto the plane, I was like, what the hell? Everyone's really drunk. Like, and it's Monday. I was like, this is weird, but I completely forgot we were going to Spain and people holiday there, so they're all like on the buzz. Anyway, we were sitting on the plane, and this man, there was like three men sitting across the way from us, and I'd say they were in their 60s or 70s, and they were so drunk one of them couldn't even open his eyes, right? And he was smoking his vape.
No way. I meant to ask you what the trouble was on the plane. Oh, he
started giving out to a girl in front of her, because he was so drunk, he kept banging off her seat, and she was like, do you mind? And she was so nice about it. She was like, do you mind just not doing that? And he was like, catch on to yourself. Like, he just started shouting at her. And
he was a naughty.
Yeah. And then he was like smoking his vape, and he couldn't even open his eyes. And then he was like, oh, they were just mad. They were mad, mad, mad. And then there was fellas down the back, and they were absolutely locked as well. And they were singing. One fella just broke into song, and it was about a girl. I didn't know the song, but it was about a girl and seeing her for the first time in tight jeans, and how he couldn't take his eyes off her. And he was like banging his chair.
Was they all from the same gang? Like,
no,
was it a stag?
He was like country, but he was like, when I seen those jeans, I couldn't take my eyes off her. And he was like banging his chair. I looked back, and he was, again, had his eyes closed. They all drank themselves blind. Like, but I was like, God, what the hell is going on? But then I was thinking,
that was you.
That's literally me and my friends when we go away on like hen parties and things like that. But it's gasping on your side. Anyway, I was happy for them all having a good time. But don't vape on airplanes. It's not very safe.
You know, I actually meant to ask you before you're flying, because you said to me, like,
there's that thing on Jake's arse. How can you look at it without... Jake has a lump on his bum.
Don't move.
Don't move him. Jake, stay. Stay. We're looking at a lump on his bum. Now come right around. Every time... He tucks it in.
He has
a polyp.
It's like he has control over his arse.
He has a polyp, right? And he sticks it out only for me.
Imagine you were lying on the couch and someone come up and said, let me see your gooch.
That's not his gooch, though. That's his bum hole. Right. Dakey, all right. I worry about you. He's like a little old man lately.
Shut up there. He's
he
not.
He is, David.
He just needs a haircut.
He just looks a bit old lately and it's worrying me.
He's not old.
He's six. He's not. He's eight.
He's tired. And he's tired
we
of this
shit. 6 years.
He's not getting any sleep. Whenever I'm up with Jake, he doesn't do it with you. Whenever I'm up with the baby, he follows me into each room. Like last night when the baby woke up twice, I kicked the door behind me and nearly hit him in the face. And I'm like, because he'll follow me in and then shake his head and stretch on the carpet.
It was David's night last night. We do turns on nights. And it was David's night last night and Miles woke up at 3 o'clock and was singing. And like, I stay awake. This is the thing. When I hear Miles, it might not be my night. I might not have to get out of bed, but I'd be lying there listening to the chaos.
Normally, he will go straight back down and then I'll go back asleep. But he stayed up until 5:30 and then went down at 6:00 and then Sydney ran across the land at 6:45.
And asked me where her Batman swimming pool was.
Like, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
When I was going to Spain, she took it upon herself to say that I was bringing her back a Batman swim pool. She just made that up. She was like, you're going to bring, because I always bring her back a present when I go to work. Like, she was like, oh, you're going to get me a Batman swim pool. And I was like, well, I don't know about that. I don't know where I'd get that in a factory.
A Batman swimming pool.
That's what she said. So she ran across
the hall. I'm sure you'll get that on Amazon.
Well, like, I need to order it. I told her the postman's going to bring it and I need to order it. Anyway.
What I was going to say was that you didn't tell me what part of Spain you were going to. You just said, I'm going to Spain. And I never even thought about asking you.
I know.
And then when you were gone, I was like, that's like someone saying I'm flying to Ireland. What part of Ireland or what part of Spain are you going to?
I know.
And then you said, I'm on a flight and there's a bit of...
there's such a windy landing last night.
No, you were saying when you're going out to Spain, you said, safe flight, and you had told me that when you landed there was a bit of
a bit of an experience
and you're like, I mean, to Alicante, and I was like, you never even mentioned Alicante. Could have been anywhere. You could have been going to Madrid.
But sure, the guy that like helps us with the factories picked us up and he had a Mini Cooper and he was driving us, and the rain in Spain.
Oh, was it raining?
Dave, it was a what? It was torrential.
The rain.
He was like, this is so weird. We've had such a weird few months. He just kept talking about how like the last few months have been basically
all of Europe has just been hammered.
And he was like, it's crazy. But there was a weather warning that day in Spain for the rain. And we were in this Mini Cooper and he was
going along.
And I just remember I was sitting in the back of the Mini Cooper, like on my way to this random factory in the mountains. And I was like, I'm just going to die. Like this is how I die. And you had no idea where I was.
I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea.
Well, there you go.
No idea.
Just baiting around some mountain looking for the right bag.
Speaking of weekends away with the lads or with friends. So what day is today? Today's Sunday.
No, it's not. It's Wednesday.
But
we're putting it out on Sunday.
Okay. Sorry for being correct or listening to what you're saying. Stop staring at Jake. Staring at him.
David, you're annoying him because you said his name. Go. Jake, lie down and enjoy yourself.
So I went to County Roscommon with a few of the lads. Right, I went to County Roscommon, stayed in an Airbnb.
County Roscommon.
There's nothing in Roscommon.
Nothing.
There's nothing.
And except lovely people.
There's nothing. And you know what? I had to stop and charge the car in County Longford.
Can I just say, people from Roscommon are lovely.
Four attempts.
Go on.
Okay. Now, this is not me dissing electric cars, because right now the way the world is going, we're all going to be wanting electric cars. Let me finish this. I'll explain to you. This is not me dissing electric cars. I'm all for electric cars, but the car we currently have, it doesn't have it doesn't have great range. It doesn't have long range, right? It might as well be pushing a push bike, right? I had to stop. I mapped it out where I need to stop, get a charge, and let me finish before you speak. I knew I was stopping in Longford. Got to Longford, two petrol stations. The first one was all fully being used by cars. The second one, I couldn't get it to work. Third one, it wouldn't accept. Oh no, it didn't have the connector.
No.
And the fourth one in Longford town, outside this house, we found one. And that was when I got a charge on the fourth
one. It's a pain in the arse.
Right?
But Roscommon's not 240 kilometers away.
I know that.
So why did you have to charge your car?
You went into town the other day.
For some reason, there's something wrong with the battery.
It's nothing wrong with the battery, Terry. The only way you get 240 kilometers is if you are driving at 60 kilometers an hour with no wind.
But why does it say 240 kilometers and then it just goes down, down, down? Sorry, to just explain what we're talking about. The other day, I took the electric car into town. It had 100 kilometers. We live less than 30 kilometers away from town. Mm. And by the time I get into town, I only had 40 kilometers left. That is 60 kilometers it used in that journey. There was no traffic. It was just raining. So exactly. Where did those 60 kilometers
go? But all these things come into account. If you...
No, there's something wrong with the battery.
There's nothing wrong with the battery.
Well, then why is it telling me that I have 100 kilometers?
There's nothing wrong with the battery.
Everything wrong. It's shy. Get a new car. Look into it. Done deal. Today, get rid of it. It was the worst decision we've ever made.
There's no we involved in that.
You found that car and we bought it. I got rid of the BMW because there's no point in us having a fucking Land Rover.
You wouldn't need to stop and charge the BMW, would you, Terry?
No, but it was absolutely pointless on these roads. The roads on the way into Air Estate, they're quite potholy and like...
Potholy.
And we had a 5 Series BMW and it was asking for trouble. It was asking for trouble. You know yourself, we would have fucked up the tyres. So we got the Land Rover and got rid of the...
BMW
and replaced it with an electric car, which we thought would be a lot more efficient.
It is, but no, it's long distance, it's a nightmare.
Well, long distance shouldn't be into town and back, David. It's a nightmare in general.
Okay.
It is. We need to get rid of it. I want either a Polestar or what's that other one? What's that other company?
XPeng. Or BYD.
BYD or a Tesla.
All of these all have 500 plus, which is what you need.
That's what you need. So if you're listening to this and you think about getting an electric car, I wouldn't recommend one.
Mr. Polestar, Mr. BYD, Mr. XPeng and Mr. Tesla. Elon Musk, if you're listening, send us one of these cars,
please. No, I don't want one for free. I want to buy one. Anyway, as you probably know, we were in Dubai and we only actually got our episode put out this week as well from before we went to Dubai because we just haven't had a chance to edit it. We went to Dubai. We were only supposed to be there for a week. That turned into 10 days. I'm going to be completely honest. When we were there, something happened with one of the kids and it was very traumatic and scary and awful. And I stupidly posted a reel to explain that. And I was in my mind, like, thinking that I was going to go on to explain what happened and like give advice if it happened, blah, 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 to try and, I suppose, make a positive out of a negative. But I just have changed my mind on talking about it because I feel like it's making me...
I reckon the both of us, without even I think you more than me, or maybe that PTSD is a part of it.
Yeah. Look, come here. We don't want to be cryptic, but basically, I don't think I can talk about it without crying. And we are just very grateful for the healthcare system in Dubai. It is absolutely brilliant. And if I can give any advice, it is to have health insurance. I had travel insurance and health insurance. And it turned out that the health insurance...
Cancelled it out.
And travel insurance are like, you need to get onto your health insurance. And the health insurance stepped in. But I have to say, they were absolutely incredible. Like, they literally got on the phone to me and they were like, we have it from here. And my God, did they have it from there. Like, the bill that it came to for, what was it, 3-4 nights in hospital? Mm. Oh no, it wasn't 3-4 nights. 3 days in hospital was quite expensive, as you can imagine. But it was just covered. It was just completely covered. And we were so lucky and we didn't hear anything about it. And I will say is just make sure that you have health insurance. Never, ever chance, especially if you're going away with kids. Like, it's one thing if you go over and, you know, like you get sick, and you kind of know yourself, like, look, I'll just hang on, I'll get back to Ireland, and I'll get myself sorted. You don't know when it comes to a child, like...
Well, part of our problem was that it was a long-haul flight.
Yeah, and then the long-haul flight. Anyway, we extended our trip, but suggested to us, oh, you might not get out until Saturday. And it turned out, long story short, we ended up getting on a flight on Thursday. We were, you know, deemed fit to fly, and we get out on the Thursday. But a war broke out on the... Saturday morning. So we missed it by 24 hours, essentially. And I've like so many thoughts about what happened. Like, look, come here. For those of you who've been living under an absolute rock, there's missiles flying over Dubai and Dubai are intercepting them with their missiles, aren't they? Mm. Or their system. And basically debris has fallen on top of Dubai. But I can't wrap my head around the hate that's happening towards people that are there. Like I seen that there was an influencer. I don't even know if is an influencer, but she's there, and she was desperate to get home. She was there with her kids, and she was like really upset about it, as you would if there was missiles flying over your head. And people were absolutely rinsing her, like being like, "It's not that bad. It's not that bad." And I get that. Like, there's a lot of people that can be rational and say, "Look, they're intercepting, and that's fine." But everybody handles things differently. Like, that girl was petrified.
Okay, you stand out in the open or on a beach. And look up in the sky with your kids with you, or you're not kids or whatever, and you see ballistic missiles and then they're being intercepted. Like, you're telling me you'd stand there and just be normal about it?
But anyway, there was another couple of influencers that I knew that were there, and they were frightened as well, and they were sharing that they were frightened, but like, people were going at them for being frightened. And then there was people there, right? This is another side of it. There was influencers there that I know and that I follow and I really enjoy following. And they were like, "It's fine. It's grand. They're being intercepted." And I was like, "That's really great that they're putting out that message. And, you know, they're calming people down," because I'm sure the other girls are grateful to see that as well. Mm. But then they were getting abused and like accused of being paid to say that it's all okay. Mm. And I'm like, what is going on in the world? Like, what is actually going on?
I'll tell you what, it was like a catch-22. So
you were damned if you do, damned if you don't.
But the boy side of it, like the government, obviously there was people out there that were ruining it for everybody else and making everybody else look bad because they were spreading false information and false news. So
like, which is not okay.
Which is not okay. So like almost like
they were like, "Oh, it's being bombed."
Yeah.
It wasn't as debris. You know.
And the boy government stepped in and said, anybody that's being found doing such a thing, that they will be, you know,
in trouble
because they don't take any shit over there. So they should have done that a lot earlier, but they, you know, that's what they were ruining it for everybody.
I don't know, I was really torn. Like, I was talking to my business partner Siobhan about it. I was like, I'm just really torn, like, because, you know, you're damned if you come on and are like, "Look, we're really frightened, we're trying to get home, it's not good, like, I can see missiles, it's scary." And you were damned if you came on and said, "Look, there's missiles, it's okay, they're being intercepted, everything's grand, I'm going about my day." Like, it was just that people could, like, it was just, I don't know. I just felt so sorry for everyone over there. And you know what? It just shed so much light on what goes on in the world as well. Like,
I believe if it happened this weekend coming, if the same thing happened, I think people would have a completely different view about it. And what I mean by that is that this was like, this all happened at the start. And I think people were thinking like, this is only going to be like a once off thing, like, stop making a big deal about it. But now that it's nearly in its 11th day and it's going to only get worse, I think now people would be a little bit more like, "Oh shit, they actually are in trouble, these families that are trying to get home."
Yeah.
That's the way I believe.
Yeah. And then I seen people being reunited with their families in Dublin Airport, and there was like loads of comments underneath being like, people are so dramatic. And I'm like, but you can't be slating people for having feelings of fear around something that's quite scary. Like, it is. It's not like they're like, "Oh God," like, you know, saying it over nothing. There was fucking missiles. And I just felt sorry for people that were like scared. And I felt sorry for people that were trying to be rational. Like, I just was like, God, what in the world is going on? And I find that lately about social media as well. Like, recently I had to do like a revamp on my algorithm. So obviously there's so much happening in the world, and I was being served up content about the Epstein files. So obviously I'm a mom, I'm sensitive to it, I have been watching certain things. And David, I like literally sobbed myself to sleep one night, and I was like, no, I need to just like,
I told you the way you can actually go in and remove all that,
because it was like deeply, deeply upsetting me. And I was like, what can we do? Like, there's like, I don't know.
I know that what you're talking about, because it happened to me recently. And you know what I done for nearly 5 minutes on my phone?
What?
Was I just kept clicking on like landscape works and cameras.
Yes.
And to change it.
I know.
Do you get me?
I know. But then you're like, oh God, I'm turning a blind eye. But like, it's just, it. The internet is really, really tough at the minute, like to be on. And
I can't even turn on the news.
I know. And I just think we just need to mind ourselves as well, like, because I feel like we're all going insane. Anyway, this is very heavy. This is a very heavy podcast. Sorry.
Like my eyelids.
Anyway, this is... Oh my God. Your eyelids. Anyway, we'll be lighting it up by talking about your eggs in the fridge. Saga.
I honestly thought you were going to say about your ex. I genuinely thought you were going to say lighting the mood of a talk with your ex. That's what I thought you were going to say.
What ex? You've never met any other girl before me.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
What are you talking about?
So for anybody that's following me, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't follow me, what is your problem? You need to start following me. But I put up a reel there recently of, I put up a reel there recently about how kids these days get it too easily. And me as a kid back in the day where I was trying to figure out whether the fridge keeps its light on when you close it. And people copped that that my eggs or that our eggs were in the fridge, right? And the amount of people messaging me saying, ew, why are your eggs in the fridge? Blah, 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 blah. People saying, you should be keeping your eggs in the fridge. So I put up a poll and it came to 50-50. So should we be keeping our eggs in the fridge? So I checked it and ChatGPT told me that it depends on what part of the world you're in.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Go on.
It depends on what part of the world that you're in.
Did not notice.
Yeah. So
David Fitz on his weekly egg bits.
Basically, eggs are usually not washed before sale, which keeps the eggs natural protective coating intact. Because of that, they don't strictly need to be refrigerated. They're often sold on normal shelves and normal shelves in the shop. I've never bought or purchased eggs from a fridge. So what people are saying, I get. So why are we taking it home and putting it into the fridge? Can you?
Well, why is there egg holders in fridges?
So that's the next thing. It's telling us that we should, if we're ever putting them in the fridge, to not put them in the door.
Oh.
And all our egg holders are in the bloody door.
But where? What parts of the world should you be refrigerating?
Warmer countries.
Sorry, I just thought of a warm egg.
Warmer countries. So the next thing is...
Imagine a Spanish warm egg. Obrigado.
That's Portuguese.
Portuguese.
Other foods that we keep in our fridge, and the whole list, all of them are in their fridge right now and they shouldn't be kept in the fridge. Tomatoes shouldn't be in the fridge.
Why? Where are you going to put your tomatoes though?
Fridge temperatures ruin the flavour and their texture.
True.
Potatoes.
Well, I leave them at the back.
Don't put...
They're at the back.
You know, the other day I bought a packet of potatoes and out of habit, I put them into the washroom and then by mistake, put them on the floor. The following day, they were growing trees.
Yeah, because we won our floor heating. Yeah,
they were growing trees. They had arms.
Incubated them.
Right? Bread. We've put bread into the fridge since we lived in Australia and we continue to do so.
No, you continue to do so. I have no problems in putting that in the press in Ireland, but you
We don't have
in
any
fridge.
Room in our press.
David, in Australia, let me tell you, right, a pan of bread used to last us a week because there was only two of us and you were the only one probably eating the bread. Here we have multiple mouths to feed, multiple, and we get through a pan of bread in 2 days. Okay. So why are we putting it in the fridge?
Okay. Butter. Butter.
Butter stays out.
Butter stays out. Salted butter especially is fine in a butter dish. That's what we have. Apples.
No, I wouldn't put an apple in the fridge.
Can you sit up straight? Well, don't put apples in the fridge either. Here's another one. Ketchup needs to be kept out of the fridge, even when it's opened.
Why?
Even though I'm pretty sure on the packet it says, once opened, refrigerate. Bananas, we never put them in the fridge. Onions.
Yeah, it's really bad to put onions in the fridge.
Apparently they develop like...
cancer-causing situation.
We don't start eating them like they're apples, come on. Honey, we never put that in the fridge because it will go hard. And then peanut butter, obviously we don't put that in the fridge. So...
there are all the things you shouldn't put in your fridge. Happy Sunday. Hope you're keeping well. See you next week.
I can picture everyone running out to take all the shit out of the fridge. Like me.
Are you the fridge influencer? Log on to @ David Fitz.
A fridge.
The fridge Fitz. You are a fridge.
I am a fridge.
Do you remember that? That was like the worst thing to be called when you were 10.
Yeah.
I'm not a fridge. I kiss someone on my holidays.
And what was the other one?
A virgin.
No. Jesus Christ, not a virgin. Fridge. And did you ever have the saying that if you were seeing somebody, you were doing the line with them?
David, that is like 1960s shit.
Because I'm alive since 1960.
Well, you must be because you're nearly 50. My mom and dad have used that phrase. You're doing a line with them. And I remember being in my house when I was younger and I called one of my friends a riot and like my mom and dad gave me the dirtiest look. They were like, what the fuck? But I was basically saying that they were gorgeous. But back in the day, a riot was like somebody that was with a lot of people all at once.
All at once. So like a...
No, no.
Like a trollop. I was trying to think of a word that's not offensive.
Trollop. Jesus Christ, Dave. Basically somebody that had a lot of partners that was quite...
That were trollop.
Mischievous. What's that?
Promiscuous.
Promiscuous, that's the word.
I don't
very
know how,
good,
I don't
David.
Even know how I heard it thought
David,
of that.
David, very good. I know why, because you're like, you love a bit of R&B and you're like promiscuous
oh
girl.
Oh my God.
You
that's not the reason why. And by the
I
way,
know
I paid.
What you want,
they're going to finish
I
this.
Got what you need.
Please finish
do you know
off.
Me and Siobhan were talking about the first time that we kissed.
Well, the first time you and Siobhan kissed?
Oh no, sorry. I can't remember. The first time she kissed on, the first time I kissed you, and I was telling her that you. Basically you played R&B music and
that's not the first time we kissed.
You did. No, it was the first time we kissed, but
I know the first corner that we kissed as well, and I drive past David, where I had two kids from your ma's house, and I think
I made him park up around the corner so my mum couldn't see me. And you kissed me in your mum's car. Brum brum. Right, go on, have a lovely Sunday everybody. Bridget Fitz will be back
stop
next week.
Stop picking your feet.
Goodbye.
Bye bye.